God doesn't wait for people to come around, but lavishly bestows His grace upon people. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, February the 29th. It's the last day of February, and so we're looking forward to the first day in March. What better day to begin with ruminations? And we're going to have Pastors Krausky and Smith with us tomorrow. But today, we're responding to an email that one of our listeners sent to a radio host that was, frankly, speaking false teaching. We're going to look at that. And if you'd like to respond to it, numbers are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. You know, we're not on the air live once it gets dark, and so there's an opportunity to listen to other radio stations, and often on my trips on Sundays, when I go preaching, doing seminars, I often, you know, go beyond the KFUO signal, so I turn to other stations, and I haven't yet found a radio station that properly teaches the message of Jesus Christ all the time. Oh, there are occasions when salvation by grace through faith is mentioned, but the whole concept of everyone's sins have been forgiven is rarely heard. Plus, faith is often something that you've done, where you've done a work and you want to therefore believe in God, and you believe, a lot of times faith is believing in your own power with the help of God, all of which is unbiblical. Well, I appreciate that some of our listeners are now either phoning in or emailing hosts of other radio stations. And I tell you, I ought to do that. Just as anybody who would disagree with me, I really appreciate having a note from you, or even phoning up at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And I appreciate the call for two reasons, if not three. First of all, I may say something that is in error. Maybe I don't think it's an error, and you are to show me it is. The sheep judge the shepherd. Or number two, I've said it correctly, you're against it, but it gives me the opportunity to expand and perhaps convince you and the listeners of the truth of what I've said. The third reason, and this happens more often than you think, a caller will call in and provide an additional insight that I hadn't even thought about, which I then begin to use every time I speak about that verse or that concept. So, it's a no-lose situation from my point of view to take calls or emails from people, particularly since it gives me the opportunity to improve what I have to say, elucidate what I have to say, or correct what I have to say. So, any host on any radio station that doesn't appreciate getting negative feedback really ought not be on a radio station, because the negative feedback could do one of those three items that I just went through. Who knows? So, let's take a look at an email sent by one of our listeners to a program that was going on in his state. This wasn't in the state of Missouri. And he indicated that the basic theme that was being watched was seeds, time, harvest. And he begins by saying, I would encourage you to see things from God's perspective, as detailed in His written word, the Bible. Now, I really appreciate that sentence, because the way I like saying it is that the purpose of all theology is to get to think like God. And I'm appreciating some of you picking that theme up. And the way you get to know how to think like God is by reading the Bible, because that's God's think. In other words, it's His love letter to you, the Holy Bible. All of it, and this is really important, all of it is about Jesus Christ. So if you're picking up a passage and it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and the cross, then you have misunderstood the application of that passage. You've misunderstood why Jesus put that passage in the Bible through the power of the Holy Spirit as He inspired men to write down God's thoughts. Inspiration didn't mean they dictated. They were being dictated to by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit gave them God's thoughts, and then they were able to put them in their own language, their own styles, and this sort of thing. But that's why the writers of the Bible, that's one thing. Those are the prophets and the apostles. But the author of the Bible is only one, and that's the Holy Spirit from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. That's why you can use Genesis 1 to interpret Revelation 22, because it's all, the author is the same with every book. Okay, so that's a good start that the writer, our listener, does, is set the parameters that the only way to see things from God's perspective is because you find it in His written word. And I've said this many a time here on KFUO, which is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And I mentioned Lutheran because that was one of the great solas of the Reformation. Sola is Latin for only or alone. And that is Scripture alone. In other words, if somebody wants to say this is God's truth and he doesn't have a Bible passage to back it up, ignore him, because it's just coming out of his imagination. So, having set the parameters then, he goes on. God is gracious, and despite our failures and sinfulness, always is giving. God doesn't wait for people to come around, but lavishly bestows his grace upon people. Now, reading between the lines, I can understand what this email writer is concerned over. Obviously, and you can hear this on so many evangelical radio stations, it's one of the more popular points of theology among evangelicals right now, is the reason that you're not getting blessed is you're not obedient enough. I mean, I can understand that coming out of Judaism or Mormonism, but for a Christian to say that? Has he no understanding of the Christian faith? Has he no understanding of the word grace? Well, he really doesn't. And it's not unusual to find such people, therefore, denying infant baptism. This is the perfect example that they don't understand grace. They think grace is some kind of power source given to a person from God that he cooperates in becoming a better person. So, obviously, you don't baptize babies to save them because they can't cooperate. Even though John the Baptizer was leaping in the womb through the cooperation of the Holy Spirit in him. But, you see, they just ignore the Bible. Well, once they have a preconceived notion that you get blessed because you're more obedient, well, they have now moved out of Christianity into an entirely different religion. And it appears that this particular host of this radio show was saying that God lavishly wants to bestow, you know, his gifts upon you, but he can't because you haven't come around yet. You're still failing and being sinful. Now, to show you how ridiculous that notion is, I just want to use the analogy of a parent. You know, Tom, Mom made a wonderful supper for you tonight, but you were late getting home from school by 4 minutes. Therefore, go to bed without supper. In fact, you will never eat in this house again if you continue to be sinful. Oh, okay, Dad, as he goes upstairs and starves to death. You know, this is what's so crazy. Many evangelicals treat God worse than an abusive father. No wonder so many evangelicals are trying to do works, because they're really afraid of God. Evangelicalism, and I mean by that decision theology, denial of the sacraments, is just another form of a Roman Catholicism that teaches that you have some divinity within you and all you have to do is make a decision for Christ, for example. There's really no difference between an evangelical and a Roman Catholic, which means the entire essence of the Reformation is gone. Why? Because what Martin Luther was really saying, and a lot of people don't realize this, he wasn't really having a debate with the Roman Church over sin. Everybody agreed sin was bad. You know what the debate really was over? Over the role of good works in your salvation and in your receiving blessings from God. Roman Catholics said your good works really make a difference. Lutherans said, no, they make no difference at all. Evangelicals, they are teaching that good works really make a difference. You want to be blessed? Be more obedient. It's as though God can operate on a person who hasn't, as the radio show seemed to say, hasn't come around. Instead, the email writer does three things here that I think you ought to have in any email writings or any time you phone somebody to counteract their theology. Number one, he sets the theme up, sets the foundation that it's the written word of God where we find God's perspective. That's number one. Number two, he shows what he considers to be the error. But then number three, he corrects it with the Bible, not with his own thoughts. I tell you, I've heard so many people just miss, I mean, they just fall into the devil's trap. Somebody says, well, I don't think that a baby can believe. And then you come out with something like, well, don't you believe God can do anything? Well, now that may be true, but it's not going to convince anybody. The only thing that's going to convince is the gospel, which are promises and events because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what I would do is I would point to John the Baptizer leaping in the womb. I mean, he wasn't even born yet. And yet he had the sensibility given to him by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ had just entered into the room when he was still in the womb of Mary. So what's the Bible verse that this particular email writer points to? Well, one of them he does is Romans 5, verse 8. And so I'd like to read it first, and then I'll go back to the letter. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, now how does he use this against somebody who is saying that God isn't going to be gracious towards you until you come around? Here's how he uses it. I like the way the Bible puts it, Romans 5, 8. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't wait until we see the light and are loving and giving before he loves us. God is love, and all people contribute to our salvation, and all that people contribute to salvation is sin. Once the Holy Spirit inhabits cold, dead hearts and regenerates people as believers, Christians then, and only then, can truly love God and our neighbor. God adopts us as his children, and since we never contributed anything to becoming his children, we remain his children by grace alone, not works, such as giving as mentioned in your program. Even our faith is a gift from God. The interesting paradoxical way the reformers in the 16th century put it, believers are simultaneously saints and sinners, or in the Latin, simul justus et peccator. We must strive to see things from God's perspective rather than from sinful man's point of view. Hence, our human reason should yield to what we plainly read in his word. Wow. He then goes on and summarizes a little bit about this program. It was big-time theology of glory stuff. If you send them $1,000, then you will be blessed, etc., etc. The analogy of fruitfulness of plants was made with people's works, such as monetary giving to their ministry. Wow. And because of the horrible theology behind this, our listener, longtime listener, sent this message to him. I'm very proud of that. I'll tell you why I'm proud of it, is because it's obviously a listener who, if not listening just to Law and Gospel, has been reading a lot about Law and Gospel. That there's certain code phrases that you don't find outside of Law and Gospel, like God adopts us. That's a big one, because it just decimates any idea of choice. We never contributed anything to becoming His children. I like to say we never contributed or cooperated. Even our faith is a gift from God. Yeah, you can't say that's a work I've done. It's a gift. It's kind of like being a baby and waking up with clean diapers on. And you say, boy, isn't that great what I did? No, you didn't do anything. That clean diaper is a gift from your parents. And then, of course, using paradox is always good Lutheran theology. And even giving a indication of, for example, simultaneously saints and sinners. I like to say 100% saint, 100% sinner. See, that's what seems to lead to a contradiction, but in reality it's just a paradox. For under the law, there's nothing in you. You haven't once approached perfection of God's will. So you're 100% saint. But under the gospel, all of those sins, the torment of eternal hell has been eradicated because of Christ's death on the cross. And you're wearing the robe of righteousness. So between those two, God regards you as a sinless saint. Now, I know there's other radio stations here in town that are not Lutheran. Occasionally, they'll have a good program. For instance, occasionally you hear programs like Issues, Etc., or This is the Life, or the Lutheran Hour. You also have A Time of Grace. That's a program also we carry here on Saturdays. And, of course, Issues, Etc., back on KFUO in two Mondays. I tell you, we're all looking forward to that. So that what we have here, you have kind of specks of good theology throughout the radio ministry, but 95% of it falls short of God's message. And not every host is at the same level of ineptitude. Some who have been trained in theology and some who have read a lot about Law and Gospel, like on the White Horse Inn, you have a Michael Horton there. And when he talks about Law and Gospel, I'm kind of always nodding my head. Very, very good on what he has to say about that. But that's because he's read a lot about Law and Gospel, and he is, as he himself will say, also a disciple of Lutheran, even though he is at least he says he's a five-point Calvinist. So, what I'm sharing with you is you don't have many places that you can really go to hear good theology. And when you don't have those good places, boy, I tell you, that's something that you're really going to be concerned about. I'm Tom Baker. In case you have a phone call you'd like to make here, don't hesitate to do so. Our numbers are 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. And some of you also, you know, you've emailed me items. We're going to save some of them for tomorrow on ruminations. I've already sent them to Pastors Smith and Kurowski, and we'll take a look at that. And by the way, if you would like to send some more questions for tomorrow, I'm not promising, we had so many last time we didn't get to them all, but we'll sure take a look at them. Tomorrow we're going to attempt again that one about falling out of a boat, the analogy, and take a look at that in a little more depth. But at this point, 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727, and our email address that I'll pick up tonight then and have a question perhaps for tomorrow is lawgospel@lawgospel.com. I mean, you can't figure that's easier, can you? Yeah, lawgospel at lawgospel.com. That's L-A-W-G-O-S-P-E-L, both times. You'll remember that on Monday we talked about glorying in tribulations, that this is for the second Sunday in Lent. I just want to touch a little bit on the Old Testament reading, because all three readings are really good. But Genesis 17, Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, before me, and be blameless. Now, why am I reading this? Because I've said every passage is all about Jesus. So I'm going to try and make the point here. He says, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham said to him, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations, God says. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And then verse 16 really hits it on the head. And I will bless Sarah, your wife, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Now, of course, this was 24 years after God promised Abraham that a child would be born, and it didn't occur until he was 100, and Sarah was 90. Wow. And Isaac was born. Now, that covenant that God is talking about is the new covenant. The new covenant whereby he is going to bring you into a right relationship with him. And he's going to do so on the basis of his promises. The difference between the old covenant is the old covenant kind of were promises that were conditional. It's found in Exodus 24. The people say, we'll obey you, God. And God said, I will bless you then. Of course, they didn't obey him. But the new covenant, obedience isn't necessary. What? What did you say? Yes. In order to come into the family of God, God isn't looking at you to see whether you're obedient enough. Obedience will be a necessary result of your coming into the family of God, but it's not a prerequisite. And that's where every other religion goes wrong, because they think obedience is a prerequisite. It's something you have to do ahead of time. And we're telling you, no, it is not. You're saved by grace. You don't have to come around to the true God in order for him to save you. It's a gift. And as he delights in you and puts faith in your heart, you begin to believe the promises of God. And those promises are such that, wow, nothing will ever happen to you that God isn't keeping his promise. That's really important to understand, that all the promises of God are taking part in your life right now. And that's not something you have to worry about, because he's promised them. That's why when you think of Jesus, just think of the word faith. Because when you're saved through faith, it means you're saved through Jesus. And that's the truth. When we get back from the break, you may remember Monday we had so many questions during the second portion of the hour. We never got to the hymn, Lord Thee I Love With All My Heart. And I promise if I had some time on Wednesday, I would do some of that. So, you still can call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. But we'll start with Lord Thee I Love With All My Heart.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, host of Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. is produced by Lutheran Public Radio, and beginning Monday, March the 12th, you can listen live in St. Louis, weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, Issues Etc. So tune in and call in live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio starting Monday, March 12th.
Russia's Reversal. This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After decades of promoting abortion, the Russian government is finally on the verge of reversing course. Years of population decline have finally spurred Russian leaders to action. The Russian parliament recently passed a bill designed to decrease abortions in the country. The bill requires all advertisements for abortion services to dedicate at least 10% of the space in the ad to detailing the risks of abortion. By making women aware of the health risks associated with interrupting a pregnancy, Russian leaders hope to convince many of its pregnant women to give birth rather than abort.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
The way man communicates has changed radically over the centuries. What went from shouting across a field to throwing a stone to maybe tying a note to an arrow became radio. And that became KFUO Radio, and the gospel went global. Now we've entered the age of new media. KFUO is there as well. Like us on Facebook. If you follow us, you'll get announcements, program audio, staff photos. Everything you want to know about KFUO is available on the Facebook page. KFUO Radio on Facebook. Like us today.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
How would you like to give a gift to KFUO Radio and a gift to your children at the same time? Wondering how that could be possible? Well, it's easy, and our trained staff of gift planning specialists can show you how. Many have benefited from this prudent method of estate planning, and we do all the work to set it up for you. Give us a call and find out how you can benefit KFUO Radio with your legacy gift.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
That last box is unloaded from the moving van. Your husband is at work and your kids are enrolled in their new school. What do you do now? With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. And here's one perspective from moving expert Susan Miller.
You know, what I learned over the years is it is worth it to hang those pictures, to get out there and get involved, to join up and join in. It's worth it for your family. For yourself, if you're a single mover, you owe it to yourself, for your children, for your marriage. It is so important if you're somewhere 2 months, 2 weeks, or 2 years to invest yourself, because it is truly that which will give you those roots, however temporary they are.
Jump in and get involved, and you'll eventually feel right at home. You'll find more trusted advice to help your family thrive at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. That's what we're going to be taking a look at in the second portion of the hour, except for some phone calls coming in, which we're going to get to in 1 second after I announce that tonight for the Lenten service, if you're in the Wellsville area of Missouri, that's about, an hour on Highway 70 going west, and then you turn right for about 15 minutes. Grace, Wellsville, I'll be preaching there at 7 o'clock. And also, before that, there's a great meal. So if you're all interested in any of that, please show up. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Ernie. Hi, Ernie.
Pastor Baker, I know you're wanting to move along with that song that you didn't get a chance to do Monday.
No, not as important as you. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. But on your first half hour today, you was talking about some of those requirements laid down for people for righteousness with the evangelicals. I would like to make this statement that I heard for the first 40 years in the Assembly of God Pentecost Church. They would preach about tithes out of the book of Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say that don't rob God. You know, that there was a serious penalty for that.
Yep.
And that if we didn't pay our tithes, the Lord would get his money even if he had to get it through a doctor's bill. And so
I'll bet you they always said tithes are money you give to church.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And so we would I would pay, you know, give money to the church kind of, you know, hoping to keep God happy with me.
Oh.
Maybe you can make a comment on that. I'm sure there's other people that can hear this.
Well, just hold on. Stay on the line, and then I'd like to know your response to this. But Dr. James Bohagen, previous professor at Fort Wayne Seminary, one of our seminaries, was interviewed on KFUO some time ago about the tithe, and he pointed out that, you know what today's tithe is, Ernie?
I heard you say once before it had a lot to do with our taxes.
Exactly. You see, in Israel's day, there was no state and church. So every time you give taxes and social security to build roads and help poor people and so forth, that is being given to God. If I insisted today that people give a tithe at my church, the donations would go down a lot because most of them are already paying a tithe to God through the government. So the tithe is part of the Old Testament ceremonial laws, and I personally don't like using the term because we don't talk about doing sacrifices to God anymore, you know, because
right.
That's or having to circumcise our children. And I much prefer the New Testament idea of offerings to the church, you know, on the basis of a number of things. I don't want to go into them all right now, but the widow's mite is a perfect example of the principle that we are to use there. But anybody who's still talking about tithes in the Old Testament Malachi sense hasn't yet come into the New Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would like to say.
Well, you know, before the giving was out of compulsion and it was like fear.
Yes.
But now then, my attitude towards that's totally different. It's you know, it's like the joyful giver.
And you know who changed that attitude?
I believe the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely, as you came to know that there's nothing you can give to God to get saved and nothing to stay saved. It's all a free gift. So I truly believe that believers in Christ are the only ones who can give freely because they have no compulsion to do so, and there's nothing in it for them to be giving.
What a difference! And it's a better feeling thinking that I'm not going to have to give money to God through a doctor's bill because I
right.
didn't give enough in tithes. Or
well, see, that's how law and gospel leads to comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for taking that call because I know you're with the song.
Oh, no, that's okay. Thanks much. Bye. And that was Ernie once more making the point that when you start seeing things from a law gospel perspective, which means the law is one thing, the gospel is another. If you're giving money to church under the law, don't waste your time. God doesn't want it. He would prefer a bowl of worms. And any church that tells you that you're going to get more blessings the more you give is a church of Satan at that point. It may still be a Christian church and still be doing a lot of good things in other areas as well as good doctrine in other areas, but that doctrinal point is right out of the pit of hell. You know, this hymn we're looking at, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart, it doesn't say this. Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart, in order that to heaven you may give me a start. See, that's what most people think. The more I love God, the more is my chance to be saved. They have it exactly the opposite. In other words, the more God loves you, the more is your chance to be saved. And even taking it one step further, the more I recognize how much God loves me, the more I love Him. Love is always a item that comes after you have been saved. So let's see this hymn written by Martin Schalling, who died in 1608, and once more translated by our wonderful friend Catherine Winkworth, who died in 1878. Boy, she really had, as I've said a number of times, an ability to translate from the original. That would have been German to English. And so many of the hymns and hymnals are translated by her. So, Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. I pray Thee never from me depart. With tender mercy cheer me. Now, that's wonderful, because this fits right in with what Ernie is saying. See how the Holy Spirit brings Ernie in so that I can make this point. That the fact is that when we realize that God will never depart from us, that cheers us. And He's not going to depart because we don't give Him enough money. He's not going to depart because we don't stop from sinning. I tell you, there's nothing that can separate you from God except your unbelief. Earth has no pleasure I would share. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare if Thou, Lord, were not near me. Now, I'm not quite sure what Martin Schalling, but if he was a good Lutheran, then when he's talking about heaven, he would not only be talking about the heaven yet to come after Judgment Day, he'd be talking about the heaven here on earth. That begin many of the parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. And when you take a look at the parables, what are they talking about? What kingdom of heaven? The Holy Christian Church. So, even if you were in the church, it would be void and bare if Thou, Lord, were not near me. And should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in Thee can nothing shake. Now that's really a statement of faith. Many of us have gone through the death of a loved one. And of course our heart for sorrow breaks. But in the midst of that is still a deep trust in Jesus Christ, and nothing can shake that. Now when you don't have trust in the true God, then you have trust in a just God giving you what you deserve. Which means you go to hell. But that's why so many Jews lost their faith in a God after the Holocaust. Not because of the Holocaust, but because of their view of God. Yeah, if I believed in a God that is a just God, giving me what I deserve, and then I think I'm a pretty good person, well, I'd be mad too when things go bad. But that's not the kind of God I have. The kind of God I have is a God that Jews reject by and large. Namely, a God who doesn't think you have anything within yourself as an unbeliever to save yourself at all. You are not good at all from His point of view, which of course goes against not only Jewish theology, but Mormon theology and Hindu theology and Muslim theology and every other kind of theology that's based on the law. So what we're talking about here is that God says to you, you are really in trouble. You have no hope of salvation. And what person wants to hear that? But the person who does want to hear that is the person who recognizes that he needs a Savior. So the law is hated by unbelievers because it makes them unworthy of being saved, which is precisely the point. We Christians say we are not worthy. Well, if we're worthy of anything, it's for temporal and eternal punishment. Going on. Thou art the portion I have sought. Thy precious blood my soul has bought, Lord Jesus, Christ my God and Lord My God and Lord, forsake me not, I trust thy word. Now, it's interesting that the word is capitalized, which can mean either Scripture or Jesus himself. When I say I trust the word of God, since the whole word of God is the word of Jesus, it means I trust Jesus. And what is there to trust? The historical events? No. Promises. That's where saving faith comes in. Trusting in the promises. So even though your heart for sorrow breaks, you still trust the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 2. Yea, Lord, was thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have in this poor life of labor. Wow. You know, that's why Ecclesiastes is so good. Vanity of vanities. You know, you work really hard, you gain a lot of stuff. When you die, it goes to people who didn't earn it. Oh, vanity of vanity. Everything is empty. You know, you have nothing to offer God because anything you own is already his. That's why verse 2, Jesus, from his rich bounty, gave me my body, soul, back, even in this poor life of labor. It's a poor life because no matter how hard I labor, I can't win my way back, merit my way back into God's graces. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Boy, that's a good point. Now, a lot of people don't recognize that what we're talking about here in helping and serving the neighbor is the whole concept of seeing to it that God doesn't need my works, but my neighbor does. And God works through my works to help my neighbor. I become God's arms, God's legs, God's voice, God's hands. May glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile, let Satan not my soul defile. Okay, here's the essence of false doctrine. It defiles your soul. Can you imagine being like Ernie, actually thinking that I have to give a tithe in order that God's still going to love me, and if I don't give it, he's going to get it one way or the other, even if he has to send me to the doctor. Oh yeah, that's the kind of father I want to have. No. That's how Satan beguiles people. And you can hear this on evangelical radio day in and day out. I mean, I heard entire sermons from the prophecy clubs where Jesus and the cross is never mentioned. You know, it would be like me being a famous cook, and so I'm invited to a hall, 2,000 people have paid $100 to get in, and they want to hear me, and I talk about how the ancient people made dishes out of clay. That's all I talk about. Oh, yeah, that's why they came, to hear how ancient people made dishes out of clay rather than cooking today. You're such a good cook. Give us your tricks. No, I'm talking about how ancient people made dishes out of clay. That's what a lot of these programs are. They're not talking about the essence of the Bible, namely Jesus, the cross, your justification, salvation. The biggest problem in churches today is preaching. Because a lot of pastors are doing wrong preaching. And we'll talk more about that. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. And then, Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, my God and Lord, in death thy comfort still afford. So we're asking for patience, and we do need patience. You know, I am so inclined to understanding how God's working in my life at times. Unfortunately, it's not all the time. That when something really bad happens to me, I just sit back to see, okay, what's God doing here? What's the surprise he has for me? And sure enough, something comes about when you're looking for it. Even in death, you're comforted still. Last verse. Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abraham's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearing. You know, it's the angel that's going to carry you home, just as Lazarus was in the parable. The angels just sent Dives down to hell. Quite a difference. Going on. And in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until I reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Did you notice? That these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face. That is really interesting. And why is that interesting? Because you can't see God with your eyes that you have right now. You would be burned up. But God in his infinite mercy is going to give you the sight of his glorious face. Why don't we listen to this hymn in its entirety?
Thank you.
Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. A wonderful hymn written in the 16th century, and the words are still most appropriate for today. By the way, if anybody wants to have copies of Law and Gospel, for example, we have now put together all of 2010 and all of 2011 on one DVD. You can hear any of the broadcasts on your computer. Simply email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com, and we'll give you details how you can get a copy of that. lawgospel@lawgospel.com or 1-877-CMS-1962. Remember, those of you around Grace Wellsville, Missouri, tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm doing the Lenten service, and we're going to be looking at the second word from the cross. And what is that? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the question I'm going to be asking, wait a minute, how can he be in paradise today if he's going into the grave for 3 days? Ever thought about that? Another contradiction in the Bible, or maybe just a paradox? Well, we'll be taking a look at that. Tomorrow, Ruminations with Pastors Krosky and Smith. We're going to be examining an individual who writes about a marriage that could be taking place between two divorced people, and according to the Bible, at least his understanding of it, it sounds like that is something that would result in adultery. And so the individual is wondering, is that not an adulterous relationship when that occurs? And we'll be using Pastor Smith and Kurowski to talk about that, as well as other emails from people who will be phoning us or emailing us at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. In fact, if you're at all interested in doing that, do that tonight so that we'll have it available for tomorrow. lawgospel@lawgospel.com. And if you want to take a look at any of our brochures, books, CDs, and so forth, lawgospel.com. That's www.lawgospel.com. That's the website. And you can also take a look at that and order materials from there. I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to this Wednesday, February the 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2012, Law and Gospel. And we're going off right now, to be followed by other items that could be taking place at any time. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.